Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a low-end pressure chain in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old-school DNB vibes, and the big idea is simple. Keep the sub solid in the middle, then make the upper bass feel wide, gritty, and alive. We are not trying to spread the sub all over the stereo field. That's the classic mistake. In drum and bass, the low end has to stay focused, because that's what keeps the track powerful on a proper system and safe in mono. What we do want is width in the harmonics, movement in the mids, and a bit of atmosphere up top so the bass feels huge without getting messy. So let's start by creating a basic bass sound. If you want an easy beginner setup, load Waveeatable, Operator, or Analog on a MIDI track. A simple saw, pulse, or sine-based patch is perfect here. Don't overcomplicate it. We're going to shape it with effects. Now write a simple DNB bass line. Keep it rhythmic and leave space for the kick and snare. Think root notes, fifths, octaves, little syncopated jumps, and short phrases that repeat with a bit of variation. For jungle or old-school style, the bass doesn't need to be flashy. It needs to groove and respond to the break. Next, we're going to split the bass into two zones, sub and mid or top. The easiest beginner-friendly way to do that in Ableton is with an audio effect rack. Drop one on the bass track, then create two chains, one called sub and one called mid-top. On the sub chain, add utility first and set the width to 0%. That forces the sub to stay mono. After that, add EQ8 and low pass it around 100 to 120 Hz, so only the deep fundamentals stay in that layer. Then add saturator if you want a touch of warmth, but keep it subtle. Just a little drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB, and use soft clip if it helps. The sub should sound clean, centered, and strong. If it starts feeling wide or fuzzy, you've gone too far. On the mid-top chain, do the opposite. Add EQ8 and high pass it around the same 100 to 120 Hz area, so the stereo layer does not fight the sub. Then add saturator again, but this time you can push it a little more, maybe 3 to 6 dB of drive, because this layer is where the ear hears the character. This is what helps the bass show up on smaller speakers too. Now let's widen that upper layer. Add chorus ensemble and keep it gentle. A low to medium amount is plenty. Slow rate, subtle depth, nothing extreme. After that, you can add echo or simple delay for a little stereo motion. Keep the delay times short, the feedback low, and the wet signal restrained. You are not trying to turn this into a huge ambient wash. You just want a little shimmer and movement around the bass. Then add utility on the mid-top chain and widen it to around 120 to 150%. Start small. Seriously, start smaller than you think. A bass that is only slightly wide often sounds bigger than one that is obviously spread. At this point, your bass should already feel more alive. The sub is solid in the middle, and then upper harmonics are doing the width work. Now let's add some movement, because classic jungle and old-school DNB bass often feels animated, almost like it's breathing with the drums. A great beginner move is auto pan on the mid-top chain. Set the rate to something slow, like 1/8 or 1/4, keep the amount low, and use a smooth curve. If you set the phase to 0 degrees, you get more of a volume pulse than a sweeping stereo wobble. That can be really nice for the style. The key here is subtlety. We want movement, not seasickness. If you want, you can also experiment with phaser flanger or chorus ensemble for a bit more vintage motion. But again, go easy. One tiny modulating effect can make the bass feel alive. Too much will blur the groove. Now let's glue the whole thing together. After the rack, you can add a compressor if the bass needs a little consistency. Keep it light. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 3 to 1. A moderate attack, and only a few dB of gain reduction. In DNB, you want punch and control, not a flattened out bass that loses all its bounce. Then use EQ8 at the end to tidy up the overall tone. If the bass feels muddy, a small cut around 200 to 400 Hz might help. If it sounds boxy, look around 500 to 800 Hz. If it gets harsh, tame a little in the 2 to 5 kHz range. Be careful not to over-EQ before you've really listened. One move at a time is the way to go. Now comes the important test. Check the bass in mono. Put a utility on the master or group and switch mono on. Listen carefully. Does the sub stay strong? Does the bass lose too much energy? Does the widened layer still sound musical? If the sound falls apart, reduce the chorus, reduce the delay, or narrow the width a bit. Remember, the goal is a mono-safe bass that still feels huge in stereo. This is where a lot of beginners get tricked up. They hear something exciting in headphones, widen everything too much, and then the bass weakens on speakers. So use headphones first, then speakers, then mono. That order matters. Headphones can make stereo tricks sound cooler than they really are. The real test is whether the groove still works when everything is summed down. Also, keep an ear on the kick and bass relationship. If the bass sounds impressive on its own but starts fighting the kick, back off the width before you reach for more EQ. Sometimes the fix is not carving more frequencies. Sometimes the fix is simply making the stereo stuff less aggressive. For a more authentic jungle feel, think about arrangement too. Let the bass answer the break. Leave little gaps for the snare. Use short repeating phrases with a bit of variation every 4 or 8 bars. You can automate filter cutoff, saturation drive, or width across the song so the bass opens up in the drop and pulls back in the intro or breakdown. That contrast makes the track feel arranged instead of looped. A really nice variation is to let the upper layer talk more over time. For example, automate the filter or the delay feedback so the last note of a phrase blooms a little more. That gives the bass a call and response energy, which fits jungle beautifully. Another smart move is parallel dirt. Instead of making the main bass super distorted, duplicate it or use a separate chain for grit. Filter out the low end on that dirty layer, add more saturation or amp style color, then blend it underneath. That way you get attitude without destroying clarity. And if you want even more old school character, resample the bass to audio. Once it's audio, you can chop it, reverse a tail, shorten a note, or rearrange a little phrase. That sampled feel can be gold for jungle, because it gets you closer to that classic chopped, reshaped, hands-on vibe. So let's recap the core idea. Keep the sub-mono, high-pass the widened layer. Use saturation to create harmonics. Use chorus, delay, and autopan for controlled width and movement. Check mono every time, and always protect the kick and snare space. If you remember just one thing from this lesson, make it this. In drum and bass, width should live in the upper bass texture, not in the sub. That's how you get low-end pressure that feels massive, dark, and club-ready without falling apart in the mix. For your practice, build a one-bar loop with a clean mono sub and a stereo upper layer. Add one movement device like autopan, test it in stereo, then test it in mono, and keep adjusting until the bass stays strong but still feels exciting. Once you get that balance, you've got a proper jungle bass foundation. And from there, you can make it darker, dirtier, or more atmospheric without losing the low-end power.